The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Good morning, David Doval. What's going on?
Hey, my friend. Welcome back.
I'm glad to be back. Feels like 100 years. But
I know. That's how it goes when you're off, right?
It is. It's good. It's good, though. We had an awesome week up in the Pac Northwest. Drove 2,500 miles and hiked, I don't know, not that many. But it's beautiful up there. And our weather was great. You always think Seattle just rained. Pardon me. We had one day of rain, basically.
Well, it was all here. Yeah.
That's what I heard. Yeah. And thus the inspiration for our topic this week.
Right.
We're going to put your mind in the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about gutters. We'll talk about rain. We'll talk about whatever's important to you at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. That's the number. Give us a call. We'll talk about anything home improvement related. We've occasionally done marriage counseling, I think,
inadvertently,
unintentionally,
yes,
just offering the best possible advice. There's all kinds of stuff, David. And I don't know if you pay attention, you probably do it because it's your business. I notice things like driving through our own neighborhood. If you just take a second and look, like gutters can be like just they're on the house and doing everything, or they can be a huge eyesore from things as simple as cleaning them, mm-hmm. not like cleaning them out, but just the face, the part that you see.
Right.
And then stuff like falling off the house. My favorite is where you've got the little sapling growing in the gutter. That's always a good sign. It's green, green gutters, but, anyway, we'll talk about that. But I guess I started saying that you notice things, and there's actually gutters as a do-it-yourself project can be done. It would have to be done in sections, with slip joints and things like that. So far from optimal, on any of a number of fronts, but I remember all the way back in my 84 lumber days, helping people, calculate what they needed and getting all the parts put together and showing them how to do it. Now everything is, seamless, rolled, but there's a little bit of science to it to make them work right. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I figure we talk a little bit about that. I don't know if we have any emails, if you've gotten a lot of emails the last couple of weeks. How'd it go with Randy when y'all were together? I know people are like,
great,
well, we were
great.
Listening, son John. So
he did fine. It was informative. And, it's been a good while since we've had him on.
We talked
about they changed their store around. They have a whole new look in the store, which was pretty cool. And I haven't been in the store since they had done that. So I was pleasantly surprised when I went in the store. I mean, it always looked nice, but, it's just a new, cleaner, modern look.
Cool.
So that was pretty cool. And then, talked about flooring, and then we did have an email, a couple after the show, and they were, more about cleaning. So we can maybe touch on that a little bit later.
Okay.
About cleaning LVT and LVP laminated vinyl plank. And, cause I kind of got in trouble with Randy, because we were talking about that off air. We didn't talk about it much on air, but when I told him how I was cleaning my floors, he kind of chewed me out. So,
let's not pass on that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I have this written down in here, but something that I have a note about adding attic insulation. I'm not sure why that's in here. Usually I don't have ADD moments when I'm writing, only when I'm speaking.
Sure.
But apparently I had one writing. I don't know.
We had an email about that as well a week or so ago about someone switching AC units and And I thought that would be the next time I'm in here with the Zeke, and I thought that would be a good time to bring that up because that was someone's. I don't know if their expectations were high, too high for, but they had changed their unit out, and I'm not sure if they changed it. I don't remember the whole email, but I don't know if they changed it because the unit was old or if they changed it out because they were, and they only bumped up like one sear, and I think they were expecting bigger like, returns, you know, or lower energy bills, and it just wasn't enough to turn around about, and I think they were upset. And you know, I said in combination with a few things, but they did their they listened because they did their duct work and they got it sealed and replaced and got the R value upped, you know, to the higher standards. So anyway,
no, it's good. I was there's a religious community just north of Atlanta, and I know a couple of the gentlemen there, and so like I just help them stay on top of things for maintaining this home that they have up there, and I think HVAC is what triggered me. I was up there this week because it's got the high tech thermostat, and they're like, John, it says I got to change the filter. I don't know where the filter is on this one. They have a whole house filter, right? So it's down on the unit in the crawl space. But I bring it up because when I went up there the first time and did the inspections, the crawl space was just a hot mess. Not literally hot, but just right. Damp. All the components were rusting. It was a mess. And I'm like, we got to get this thing sealed. We didn't have to do, you know, all the way up the sides. We just had to seal the floor. And the group that came out did an awesome job. And man, I went in there to change that filter. And I'm like, I don't want to live here, but you could. It's like, so it's just... Is this that stuff about doing the insulation, doing the ceiling, just taking a little bit of time makes a huge, huge difference. And that system will last a long, long time, much longer in that environment than the one that was previously there.
I agree.
All right. Well, that's our ADD moment. We've run past our break, so let's take it. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I forgot to tell you, we're going to have a guest from the Home Depot next hour also. Debbie Hernandez is going to join us. So lots of good stuff going on. Don't go away. Grab a cup of coffee. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, and we will chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a shout. We'll talk about, we're taking our minds to the gutter this week. We're putting our minds in the gutter or the gutters. And we're going to talk about the gutters on your home. The first thing I think, David, is we've taken over the years so many calls about, you know, dampness in the crawl space and just issues. And the first question always asked is like, do you have gutters on the house?
Right.
And I don't know. I remember when I moved to the South in like 1984. I know I'm one of those damn Yankees because I stayed and I'm so grateful. Gosh, I'm so grateful. But anyway, I don't remember in growing up in northern climates that you ever saw a house without gutters. And I'm not sure why that is. I remember when I got here that there were way more than I thought. That doesn't seem to be the case so much anymore. But it's kind of like there's not really a reason not to have gutters on the house. Saving money, I guess. But nothing good happens from eliminating gutters, does it? Am I missing a nuance? Is there something that
I don't think so. I think if you live in a rocky soil and you you have big overhangs on your house, you can probably get away with it.
Don't need it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that. It's not that important, especially if it's downhill on all four sides away from
that's
the house.
That's true.
But you know, if it's dumping onto a driveway or parking area, you know, whether it be concrete or gravel, it'll wear it away.
Yes.
And, you know, you know, I've had people look at me funny before when I've said that. And they said, well, what's this line from? And I said, well, it's from the water running off the roof and it's deteriorating the concrete. It's eroding it. And they're like, well, that's hard surface. How can that be? And I'm like, well, you know, the water in a river gets, a rock gets wore down too. You know, it'll shape all the edges. So, yeah.
So I guess, I mean, And I guess there's like an aesthetic deal, right? So, and some of the more contemporary, very linear, you know, hard, you know, cuts and angles and stuff like that, a gutter could be aesthetically displeasing. Although there's a lot of options now that were to hide a gutter in, you know, in a design like that, right? So mm-hmm. a good architect would be able to do that. But so let's posit, let's operate on the premise that 9 out of 10 times or 99 out of 100, it makes sense to have gutters on your house. And so I kind of made an outline of gutter basics. And what I'm trying to remember is you're looking at your gutter and it's not draining well. You know, you can get a level, you can buy a level that has two lines on it in the bubble, right? One says this is center, and then there's another set of lines that's offset just a little bit, and that's the plumbing pitch. I think that's for like running plumbing, right, David? I mean,
yes.
So if you line it up the second time, that means you've got enough drop in that line that it's going to drain correctly. Is that the same pitch for gutters? I want to say like a quarter inch and 10 feet, but I can't remember. Do you know what that is?
Well, yeah, they're still, it's somewhere around a 16th of an inch to an eighth of an inch.
Okay. So a little bit less than that. All right. Which would make
sense.
No,
you're talking about for 10 feet. Yeah. You want at least a quarter of an inch.
Quarter. Okay. All right.
Then at least. Yes.
And so that's when things get a little dicey on the do-it-yourself side also, right? Because people have a long run and they're like, why is my gutter right in the middle of the dining room window?
Right.
Well, hyperbole, of course, but
It
takes a minute to figure that out correctly, right? And then
you had mentioned it in the beginning, and that's probably, I mean, there's lots of advantages to seamless gutters. In other words, where they pull up and they're trailering that little machine, which is a form machine. And it shapes the gutter. So it goes in as a flat piece of aluminum stock. Of coil stock, and it comes out the other side in the shape of the gutter, and they can run those as long as they need. I don't know what the length is, but I have a piece on my house that covers the entire back, and it's an oversized gutter. It's the 6-inch. And that gutter is probably every bit of 60 feet long.
Yeah.
But here's one of the advantages of putting a gutter up like that. It's got a big downspout on each end, and he started in the middle when he put it up.
I was going to say, that's the trick, right? Because if you do the math, like what's 60 quarters is like you are in the middle of your dining room window. Again, hyperbole, but
right.
But you do have to start at some point, so that as you run it, or you end up with downspouts in just obnoxious places as well. So let's back up for 1 second, because this is a scenario where, in our opinion, size matters, correct? And they're talk about the two most common sizes of gutters.
Five and 6-inch.
And so you did the 6-inch. We've recommended the 6-inch over and over again. Why?
Well, because it'll carry more water. But the other thing is that it's deeper and it's wider. So that it can catch that heavy water when you have the heavy rains like we've had this week. Everybody saw it here. You know, if you were paying attention, I mean, we were close to 5 inches where I live over the week. And last night we got another, it was beautiful during the day, but we got another 1/2 inch last night in about 30 or 45 minutes. And it came down pretty quick, which I happened to notice. I have a stopped up. I have the little devices that go into the downspouts, the little cones. It doesn't cover the entire gutter. I chose not to do that. I just chose to put a safety in because all of my downspouts are piped underground. So I want to keep as much debris out of those as I possibly can. So that size gutter is ideal, but you need to pair that gutter with oversized downspouts. And then, of course, they need to be placed properly so that you can you have enough downspout to get the water out of the gutters fast enough. That's what I see a lot of times is an upper roof being dumped onto a lower roof,
right?
And then they don't have enough downspouts or not enough capacity, either size or not enough in number. And you know, you're not going to keep that water in that gutter most likely when you're in that scenario.
It's coming over. Mm-hmm. So we've actually suggested, I think, in the past, where if you've got just a 5-inch gutter, putting a larger downspout on it anyway, no matter what you do, instead of going, I think it's 2x3 or 3x4, right?
2x3 and then 3x4 is the larger.
Right. So we said use 3x4 because it'll fit it even in the base of a smaller gutter, I believe.
It does.
Still get the rivet tube and everything in there, right? So, mm-hmm. But if you think about the rules of plumbing apply to a gutter, and if you think about a waste pipe, water does not just kind of enter in mass into the pipe and exit. It moves around just the inside perimeter of the pipe only.
Correct.
And because the air has to get in so that it flows down. So when you think about the size of your downspout, it's automatically reduced, and that it's only going to move through that you know, or along the outside, well, the outside of the inside, the inside perimeter, and so you need capacity to take those gully washers away from the house. All right, I think we're about 50 seconds away from a break, so we'll go ahead and take it. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're talking about gutters. We'll talk about whatever's important to you. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're happy to take your call. You can also go to AskJohnAndDave.com, click on the questions button, and send us a note that way. We're going to sneak away, pay some bills, as it were, and then we'll be back to answer more home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we want to take your calls this morning. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're talking about the gutters before we jump back into gutters. Let's do our Home Depot product of the week. There's a lot to choose from this week. Looking at this, and we're going to hear from Debbie Hernandez next hour, and she'll have a bunch of stuff to talk about. But David, I always like default to tools because I just kind of like that. I think any excuse to buy a new tool is a good excuse to buy a new tool. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with chilling a little bit this week, and we've talked about a lot of different iterations of this, but I'm going on your good counsel with the Next Grill 29-inch barrel charcoal grill smoker kind of combination, because the older I get, the more I think it makes sense to do like the smoking thing, and but you don't always want to do that, and the price point on this thing is under $200. It lets you grill or smoke. It's got over 700 inches square inches for cooking. So that's good. You can do a fair amount there. And it's got a temperature gauge. It's a little bit easier to track and read. So if you're smoking, you know, you got to keep the temperature steady, stable, whatever. So that's it. It's an inexpensive, quality solution to get out and be outside cooking. So there nice. It is. That's
is,
it. That's
is one half of that week. Is one half of that propane, and the other half you can use wood or charcoal?
There is a version like that. I'm not sure if that's the case on this one or not. You know, I didn't click the link, but the one I really like is the one that has that. Like you can smoke. It's more. I think it's a smoker, but you can get the heat cranking on it. You just can't sear things on it. There's a gravity fed, and then there's an auger fed where you load the wood chips, and it just adjusts the air to change, you know, more air in, hotter flame.
Right.
And you can do it Wi-Fi, but it'll hold the temperature steady, for long periods of time. I thought that's the one I really like, but You yelled at me because it's not inexpensive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you understand.
No, it's true. It's good. Hey, let's talk to Barbara. Barbara is on with us. Good morning, Barbara. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm fine this morning. And you?
We are doing well.
Good. I'm calling about a problem we have in our guest apartment in the basement.
Okay.
About 3 or 4 years ago, we noticed a musty smell. We have a dehumidifier in there, and we also have a fan that runs constantly. And we took up the carpet and put down a vinyl plank. But now I'm beginning to get that smell again. We don't have a gutter problem. The rain, we have gutters. The rain runs away from the house. And I'm thinking that we must have, it must have been necessary to put under a barrier, a moisture barrier, under the vinyl plank. Could it be from anywhere else?
Well, yeah, it could be. Even if you have decent drainage, our soil is such, David, Barbara could be picking up some wicking moisture even through the walls. And then where does your HVAC unit?
We don't have one down there. We have a wall.
Okay.
Air conditioner and a small oil stove in the wintertime.
Okay, makes sense.
And so they're not used all the time because we only have it for guests.
Testing the floor before you put a product down is usually a best practice that we recommend. And Barbara, we would tell you just take a piece of clear plastic polyfilm and tape it maybe 1 foot by 1 foot square in a couple different places and just tape it down with duct tape. And then watch and see if you get moisture droplets behind it. David, I'm thinking in most cases, there's a polyfilm beneath that slab that's poured down there. And well, I guess you can still get it. You can still get moisture up through there. Where else could she be getting the mildew from, you think?
Well, I mean, that there's dampness coming through somewhere, obviously. So even when they put down a polyfilm, how old is the house, Barbara?
It's 25 years.
Okay,
old.
So 25 years ago, they were still installing vapor barriers underneath slabs and attached garages and basements. And that's where they just before they pour the concrete, they lay a 6 mil plastic down. Supposed to.
Okay.
Now they're a little more strict on that. It's not only do they lay the plastic, but they make them tape the edges, and go through
seal up any piers or whatever, right?
You want to make sure it's all sealed up, and it's a possibility that was not done 25 years ago. So there's a good chance you do have moisture pushing through that slab, but now it's trapped beneath the LVP. So that is. Probably where you're getting some of it. And then of course it can also make its way around the edges. So are you running a dehumidifier down there, Barbara?
All year round.
She said yes.
Yeah, I was reading something, so I didn't hear that part. But are you capturing plenty of water?
Yes. Well, as far as I can tell, it runs outside, so
yeah, so you're pumping it out.
Mm-hmm.
Where that's going out, you may want to pay attention to that. How far away from the house are you pumping that water to, by the way?
Well, actually, it just goes out the wall, come to think of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's something else to think about.
Yeah.
Is getting that moisture away. But do you have a hygrometer, something you can measure humidity with in that basement?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So what are you looking at?
I don't even look at it.
Okay.
So what should it be?
Well, you want to be below 65%. If you could maintain that, you'd be in better shape. You get up above 70%, you start getting fungal growth.
Okay. So you would not necessarily recommend that I take up this vinyl plank.
Here's what might be a good solution, Barbara. Starting with the least aggressive to more aggressive. David makes a really good point. And wherever that condensate hose is discharging out outside the building, make sure that that's going far enough away and running away from the house, because it's possible that what you're taking out could be wicking right back in. So, so that would be step one, number one.
Okay.
Then step number two is look at that hygrometer. Maybe David, this is too much. I have two spots in our basement that are unfinished, and I keep a dehumidifier in both, and I run that thing to 50. I set it at 50.
Sure.
And I keep it at 50% humidity, relative humidity, right? So look at the hygrometer and see if that's where you are. If not, then make an adjustment. The other thing that might be possibly happening is if you're running like a window type unit air conditioner, it's possible that it's running long enough to cool the space, but it's not running long enough to dehumidify
exactly.
it. I would think that running the dehumidifier should solve that, but it's possible that it's cooling it off so that relative humidity is staying high, even though the temperature is cooler. And that is, if I stay in a lot of hotels, and even in nice hotels, you walk into a room and it just smells musty. And it's because they have one of those through the wall units that's cooling the room quickly, but it's not dehumidifying it. So there's always that kind of musty smell. So I think there, and then if you check those things, then if you can get, and you still have an issue, then if you can get to like an inconspicuous place maybe and pick up some of the LVT and put that plastic down and see if that's where you're having issues, then you've kind of taken yourself through a progression to see what we can eliminate as potential causes.
Well, the dehumidifier is in like the utility room. It's some distance away from the other, like the bedroom.
Yeah, and that might be the problem, because that might be where the water's coming in.
Uh-huh.
We got to go to a break.
Yeah, here. I was going to say, Barbara, hang on for a second. We're way past the break here. I'm going to go ahead and take it. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. And we're going to be right back to Barbara and your questions right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110 is the number. Give us a call. Right now we're going to jump back on the phone with Barbara. Thanks for waiting through the break, Barbara. We were trying to sleuth out the reason for the kind of musty smell down in the finished area you have in the basement. And I think you said that the dehumidification that's going on is going on in a separate room from this. And I think we kind of walk through a series of things to take a look at. But if that dehumidifier is in a different room, it could be, let's see where the water's going out and the possibility of it wicking back in. But the other thing that might be worth taking a look at, if you're using like a window unit kind of air conditioner or like an independent air conditioner, look at the BTUs on that unit. And I give you the right to correct me on this, but you may actually consider, Barbara, stepping down the size of that unit so that it cools more slowly, because the longer it runs, the more it dehumidifies. And so you may actually have a great unit in there that's like, you fire it up and it cools the place off. But if it cools it too fast, it's going to shut off and it won't dehumidify enough, and you'll get that musty smell.
Okay. It's 1,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Another question I had is the room that the dehumidifier is in, do you leave that door open from that utility room into the other areas?
Yes, there's a door.
Is it multiple rooms?
There's a bath and a big room where the bed and furniture are, and a kitchenette, and then the utility room is right beside the kitchen.
Okay. So I think maybe you may want to get that dehumidifier, first of all, make sure that it's large enough for that area, but you really may want to get that out into the middle of that room.
Okay.
Now remember, you can, with those dehumidifiers with the pump, you can pump them up. So get your tube up in the air, and then you can have a pipe run and have it have a fall to the outside and let it gravity feed to the outside, so you're only pumping it up. I don't know how far that will pump.
Well, It's pumping up now because it's...
Yeah, I understand that. But if you move it to further away from the outside wall, you'll have to pump it further if you let it go. But if you just pump it up, they may have to put a pipe in. So barring that you need a different dehumidifier because of size, the amount of water that it can extract, you just need to get someone to help you with that and do the calculation. But those are that John's right. There's a handful of things there that you can do. I think maybe getting that out into the main area may be helpful.
Okay. Well, if we decide we do have to replace that vinyl planking, what kind of barrier should we put underneath?
I would look for a liquid type of barrier to paint on that floor.
Okay.
Before you put it down. As a matter of fact, there's some coatings out there that you could put down. You may not have to put anything back down if you don't want. But Sani Tread is one that comes to mind, and that actually works on the inside to hold back hydrostatic pressure. So in other words, it'll keep water from penetrating into the house. But the colors are kind of limited. But if you could do that and use some area rugs to soften it up, you may be better off and that would be the end of it.
Okay, right. Well, I appreciate all of this help, and we have a lot of choices, and thank you very much. I'll check them all out.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. Bye. Appreciate your call. All right.
And, you know, John, the other thing is, too, is that when you get in a situation like that, all that furniture, everything down there, if it's moist, is taking on moisture, right? So
exactly.
You may have to treat that as well to get rid of some of that smell. You can dry it out, but as soon as it gets damp again, I hate to say this, but it's kind of like a dog, you know, and the dog is fine and it can be all over you and everything, but that dog goes outside and gets in the water and comes back in, and then you're like, oh, this is different. you don't smell near as sweet as you did before you went out.
I think if there is an issue, or if Barbara's had a protracted issue, then the likelihood of, you know, furniture, bedding and stuff like that having that is high also. So
right, so you have to treat all of that. And microbium is a good way to look at that. So
yep. So the other thing is, when you said move the dehumidifier out, the other thing is just air movement altogether. It may be just getting a fan,
some ceiling fans moving. The air. I agree. Leave them
on. So it's the mildew thing is kind of a difficult, because it doesn't take a lot for that to be an issue, and then there's so many different ways that it could be a problem. So Barbara's living that dream right now. So.
Right. Well, think about how many times through the years that we've had the call that people have bedrooms that they don't use very often, and they get that musty smell, and they keep that room, one, closed up. You said it, no air movement, and you have furniture that's pushed up against a wall, so the temperature difference to the outside can cause a little condensation. All it takes is just a little bit of dew point, a little dampness to build up, and then the next thing you know, you got some fungal growth, and things are absorbing, start to get that smell. So air movement is key, I think.
What I was trying to explain to Barb a couple weeks ago, I call it like a jump duct. I don't know that that's exactly the right terminology, but just putting a little vent over a doorway and ducting it into the next room, or in some cases just having a vent that'll allow air to move from room to room. Then you have a grate over an opening, and opening goes into the next room.
Sure. Done it many times.
There's just a benefit to that. And you want to place it so it's not just obnoxious, but just allowing air to move from room to room to room can sometimes be enough to solve the problem.
So, well, leaving the doors open, not shutting systems off, letting them run at maybe a little bit higher temperature, but allowing them to run. And we've done what you're talking about with moving air in closets multiple times.
Right.
We put a vent low, one on the inside, one on the outside, and then we put one high, and we're trying to get air to move through that closet because the door is closed, and, you know, we say undercut the door, but you can't cut a foot off of it. So
Well, you could, but the Captain Kangaroo door.
Right.
All right, look, that's a really good segue. We got to take a break, but we were talking gutters. Actually, there's some mildew things that are relevant from a gutter perspective also, and so we'll tackle that when we return. Get your questions ready, folks. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll talk about your home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
A Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Dave Doval.
All right, let's get back at it. Give us a call, folks. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We just finished up before the break with Barbara, trying to help her sleuth out a mildewy odor in a room, a finished room in the basement. But David, it's a really good segue back into some of the conversation that we're having about gutters. And I know we really haven't scratched the surface yet, but when we talk about gutters, gutter issues can be that source of mildew. I'm thinking about a situation where either a downspout is clogged or the pitch on the gutters is wrong, and it's holding water. Or when we started talking about this, you brought up the point that, hey, using the larger gutter for those huge downpours, even if your gutters are functioning well and you have just one of those incredible gully washer rains and water backs up behind the gutter, you know, back behind the gutter, back between the fascia and the gutter, water can get in at the attic point, any of a number of places, and just trickle down inside of a wall. And that happens a few times and you're like, why does this smell musty? And it smells musty because you've got issues behind the drywall.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea of gutters is kind of an important one. So David, we talked about the size. We talked about downspouts, but what about the placement of downspouts? And especially where people are like, well, I don't want it to be aesthetically displeasing. Is there a rule for how many feet of gutter you can have before you have to have a downspout?
You know, I'm sure there is. You know, my rule of thumb is always this: if you were to take that downspout off that house and lay it in the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
I see what you did there.
Right. So, yeah, you're quick. Anyway, if you laid that in there, then you would, I've seen houses before, John, with the small downspouts, the 2x3 downspout, and that would have 40 feet of gutter dropping all that water. I had mentioned it earlier about an upper roof. And they bring that downspout down on a roof and dump it on a roof. That runs down and goes into a gutter that's picking up another 30 or 40 feet of gutter. And it's all going into a 2x3 downspout. That's not going to work out very well. You know, and usually where you'll find that is where it's the lowest bidder. A lot of times it's on the tract-built homes that are, you know, they're trying to give you gutters and downspouts, but a lot of times they're doing you a disservice by doing what they're doing. So you have to pay attention to that. And we've said it before, the best way to check all of that is when it's not a lightning, it's not really a thunderstorm, but heavy rain, take an umbrella, go outside and stand in the rain, because it makes your neighbors talk anyway. So and that way you can eliminate them as a friend if you don't really want them as a friend. But
actually put on some headphones and dance a little bit while you're doing that. And then you're sure to be rid of them pesky neighbors.
Right?
Okay. Sorry.
No, I know. And you don't have to bring them over to use that grill that you just bought. But
there you go.
Anyway, no, seriously though, to go out and to look at your yard, to look at your gutters, your downspouts, your roof, especially when it's a heavy rain like that, you can really learn a lot about what's going on. But you almost shouldn't have to do it. I mean, let's face it, sometimes there's nothing you can do. You know, those days that you get those heavy rains, it's going to happen. That's when we talk about, remember we used to talk about all the G's, the grade, the gutters, grade. You want to make sure that the house, obviously the dirt and all the landscape is pitched away from the house so that when you do have those gully washers, it's that water's running away from the foundation. That's foremost. You've got to take care of that. But beyond that, with the gutters, if you have an oversized gutter and an oversized downspout, you can now spread those gutters or those downspouts out a little bit, and don't necessarily have to have them where you don't want them.
Right.
So I think that's something to think about. The other thing that you can get a little bit creative with the downspouts, and we'll talk about colors. There's some things you can do with that when I know we got to go to a break, but you can, there's different fittings, so they can turn that downspout on the ends of the house, and you can turn them around to the side of the house. They don't have to come down the front.
Right.
So if your gutter guy's worth his salt, and here's the key to it, is that you need to talk to him up front and kind of have a plan and say, you know, I'd rather not see these downspouts any more than I have to. So if we can turn these and make these kind of disappear and put them in places that you don't want. Sometimes you may have to run a little bit more gutter, but it's worth it. To get that architectural look or that look you're after.
So good advice. We are going to take a break. When we come back, David, also, I want to talk a little bit about fasteners, because if you're getting a gutter job done, how that gutter is held in place is kind of critical as well, right?
Well, and what's behind it. So
exactly. So, and that's a place where corners can get cut and long-term come back to haunt you. So look, we're going to take our break, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can call us at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. Sneaking away for a break, and we'll be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. David, I want to take a little detour. I know we're going to talk about fasteners here in a second and a couple other things with respect to gutter. Folks, if you got another question unrelated to gutters and you want to take our minds out of the gutter, give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'll talk about whatever is important to you. Quick detour, though. I know we do our Home Depot product of the week a little bit later in the hour, but I was thinking about the blower attachment that you can get for your blower, the extension. It goes up, got the little nozzle on it, and you can actually blow debris out of your gutters. Part of me says, great, you should do that. Part of me is like, maybe there's some more prevention to do. But that is a way. The reason I bring it up is because I went through in prepping for this and looked at online at like different recommendations or things. You know, you can always find things you should know or things you should do with respect to whatever the project is, right? And if you look at like the top five things to do for gutter cleaning, I think either two or three of them are personal safety. They got nothing to do with the gutter.
Right.
Ladder safety, protective gear, stuff like that. And so not climbing up there if you don't have to is probably a good solution.
Well,
anyway,
Well, I mean, something that I find myself saying more and more often is that people ask me if I do certain things, and I say I really don't do that anymore. Yeah. That's a young man's game, and it truly is. So if you're not comfortable on a ladder and you don't have the proper height ladder, or what we talk about mostly with ladder safety is a ladder stabilizer. Because that can really save yourself making that ladder, instead of being 16 or 18 inches wide, now it's 4 foot wide at the top. chances of that ladder rolling over on you are slim and none. Plus, what it does is it allows you to hook that ladder up on the roof without damaging the roof, and you can reach a little bit further and keep that ladder stable. But again, if you're not comfortable, it's not worth it.
This Don't is, do it. Yeah,
yeah. And this has always been my thing, and I know we have a lot of advertisers out there that sell gutter guards, and they're good, and a lot of them do a really good job. It just depends on where you live and what's fallen off of the trees to decide which one that you're going to put up. But eventually, you're going to have to clean those screens off, or you're going to have to wash off the hooded type. I mean, you have those, John, right?
And yep.
And they have to be washed. Yep. I mean, there's maintenance to those that they do have to be clean. If you don't keep them clean, the water won't stick, right?
It's and yep, no, that is it. And in our climate, particularly where we have that point in end of April, beginning of May, where you have half an inch of pollen, mm-hmm. you know, that you got to shovel off your driveway. When those screens get wet and the pollen drops on them and then they dry off, it's like having a hard shell on top of that screen.
Exactly.
So to your point, David, the water is not getting through. Excellent designs, like great products, not dissing the product, but the environment is such that it renders them useless if you don't maintain it. So
sure. Well, reality,
you make a really good
reality
point.
Has to come into play. So you have that, and then of course there's always opportunity for things to think. Eventually, something's going to get through the screens, like you said, John. The pollen, some of it's going to wash through. Well, that's going to build up in the gutters. It's eventually going to dry. It's going to create little dams, and you're going to have issues. And at some point in time, those are going to have to be popped off, and it'll be cleaned. And then you put them back on, clean those up, and you put them back on. But there's maintenance, and of course you can. You're not doing it as often, and you're not having to clean your gutters as often, so they work. But I think if you're in a situation where it's heavily wooded and you have a lot of debris falling, and it's different times of year, no matter if it's the helicopters or if it's pollen, whatever. Sometimes you're better off just to have your gutters cleaned 3-4 times a year, and just maintain them that way. And you put a guard if like my house, I have all my downspouts underground. I left my gutters open because I have no trees that are large in my yard. My neighbors do, and I get their sweet gum balls and I get leaves.
Mm.
And you get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but not a ton. And I'm certainly not complaining. And my gutters flow with that, with the size and the downspouts. That the water normally moves most all the debris moves towards the downspouts, but I stick the cones in the downspouts that prevent anything from going down in the downspouts because I have underground piping and I don't want that all stopped up. So that's what I have to clean, but I have, you know, usually my house is a ranch, so it's not that tall. I'm climbing up. I can use an 8-foot ladder for a lot of it, believe it or not. Only a couple of places do I need a short extension ladder, and I don't mind that so much. But that's how I did it. But I also used, like I said, the oversized gutters and the oversized downspouts, and that makes a huge difference.
Yep. So you brought up a couple points that I want to try to hit on. We said we were going to talk about fasteners. Mm-hmm. So let's do that for a second. But then I want to go, because you talked about underground pipe. And I want to talk about drainage and some thoughtful preparation if you're doing a gutter job, but fasteners first. What are you recommending? Because I remember the old spike and ferrule thing, mm-hmm. you know,
that's,
right?
And that's all gone now. Well, they still have it, but why?
Exactly.
You know, the new brackets with the screws that are built in them is the way to go. That hangs them. They're putting them every 2 feet. At minimum, and that carry, and when you use a large gutter, you have to use you have to have something with a support that's supported every 2 feet. That gutter needs to be supported every 2 feet. Those are, to me, are the easiest ones. They cost a few cents more per bracket, but you know, it's well worth it. I don't know of any gutter person that's not using those now. They work great. It kind of brings us back though to what's underneath. You know, what shape is the fascia board in? Is it three quarter? Is it 2x6? When we built our house, we put two by sixes up on the ends of the rafters, and then we wrap them with aluminum. And the aluminum goes up, and then we have a drip edge for our roofing. So our fascia boards are completely protected. The only possible place for water to get behind that aluminum is where they actually drove the screws through the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
And for if the water was to build up that high and flow into those areas. So, you know, that was on purpose, because you really can't see much of my fascia board to begin with.
Right.
And what we did was we used the same color aluminum as we have on the gutters, which was brown, which was a whole other thought process that we'll get into. But that is important, and those hangers are what most likely what they're going to use if they put them up. So, and you should ask them. That's a question you should ask if you're going to have gutters. What new gutters installed? What are they going to hang them with? What kind of bracket are you going to use to mount them? And how far apart are you going to mount the brackets? Get that. Make sure they put that in writing. You know, make them do it
in the agreement.
Right.
Agreed. All right, so you hit on the fascia piece of it. People have asked us about using a fiber cement product as a fascia board, and from a perspective of water resistance and so on, it's really good. But if you use a fiber cement product, then you really need to make sure you're hitting the tail of a rafter with the screw. Do you not? Because I don't think that. That's not going to hold a screw long term. Yeah,
right. Because it's going to blow up on the back as the screw protrudes through the back of the fascia board. It's really kind of the same thing with PVC, which is my go to. Miratec works fairly well.
It's structural,
so you can get a screw in there just about anywhere. But it's pretty hard for the gutter guy to find the tail of a rafter.
Exactly.
If everything is covered up and done properly, he's not going to have any idea unless he can see where the nail pattern is for the fascia itself. So, I'm not a real big fan of the hardy, any of the concrete stuff up on the, up behind the gutters. I think there's better choices for that. I really think your best bet is to use wood and have it wrapped in aluminum, because you don't have to mess with it ever.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, eventually you'll have to paint it, but not for a long time.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's sneak off for our break, and then I want to talk about the drainage pieces that you mentioned, and I also want to get really into some of the basics on the fundamental maintenance for gutters. Folks, you're with the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Going to take away sneak away for a little break here, and we'll be back to answer your questions at 704-570-1110 right after this. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And before we dive into our next guest, we're going to do our quick Home Depot product of the week. And this week, it's the Next Grill 29-inch barrel charcoal grill smoker combination. David, I did check. This is 100% charcoal. So this is not the one that has the option to do LP or charcoal. But I like it because it's a reasonable size. It's a reasonable price. It's got over 700 square inches of cooking surface. So you can cook, and you can cook/smoke. Not the cigar kind of smoke, but the smoke that produces really good meat. All right, so that's it. And it's under $200. So it's a 29-inch barrel charcoal grill. It's a Next Grill, and that's our Home Depot product of the week. And while we're on the topic of Home Depot products and people, we're going to introduce Debbie Hernandez. Good morning, Debbie. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thanks for joining us. I know there's a whole bunch going on in stores. It's Saturday morning at the depot, so life is frenzied. So thanks for making time to join us. Debbie, I'm like old Home Depot guy, right? So when we talk about some of the things that I'd like to talk about coming into the holiday, I'm like, I never would have believed that at some point in time, Home Depot would stock an inflatable Uncle Sam. Is it true?
Other inflatables.
Yeah, so I love the idea. Like in our neighborhood, like we put out flags along the front of the driveway and along the street. I mean, we love the patriotic holidays. But talk a little bit about what you guys have in that, and then I want to go into some of the I want to talk about tools. But what do we have? Because that's not something David and I think about regularly when we're talking home improvement. What do you guys got out there for these like inflatables and decorations and stuff?
So we have, like you said, the Uncle Pam inflatable, and it is self-inflating, which makes it really nice. And it comes with stakes and tethers to secure it in your yard. You can also use it indoor if you want and enjoy it inside the house because it's safe for inflating inside the house. It's really nice. And they do have a multitude of other types of patriotic inflatables. If Uncle Sam's not your thing, you can get a Mickey Mouse, pet type inflatables, all different kinds of patriotic stuff. There's also decor that you can hang interior or exterior on the walls, like a patriotic star wall decor. Comes in a bright red finish, which really goes with, your patriotic decor. There's bunting for your, buffet.
Good, yeah.
There's rope lighting that comes in red, white, and blue. And like you mentioned, a lot of different flags that you can get as well.
That's cool. So now we really want to know what David and I talk about. We just finished up, Father's Day. So, our excuse to talk about tools all the time is kind of imploded. But I'm kind of fun. And David and I talk about the Ryobi One series where, one battery fits so many different things. And Milwaukee, the M18, if you want like the next generation, but talk about those two. What are there some stuff, some items that are like on a special buy right now there?
Yes, definitely. So the Milwaukee M18, it's lithium ion, which is amazing and lasts, a long time without losing power towards the end. So the power stays strong all the way through the battery charge. It's a 6.0 amp hour, so it really lasts up to 6 hours of charging, and it's got, runs really cool, so it won't start to get hot if you keep using it. You can really push through and get your project done. And the best part right now for the sale is they're offering a free tool with the purchase of the starter kit. So if you buy the M18 18 volt output starter kit, which is two batteries and a charger, you can pick from an assortment of free tools. One tool that you can get for free with that purchase, which is really
awesome. That is awesome.
And then with the Ryobi One, it's a cordless drill and driver, comes with a battery and a charger. It's, great for all types of DIY projects around the house. It gets done what you need to get done. And it's really got a really nice onboard LED light, which I love because it's hard for me to see things sometimes. So that extra light without having something right on you really helps.
Does it come with bifocals? Because that's what I need.
That light does help with the bifocals.
Oh, golly. So, David, you and I talk about like a lot of different things, dishwasher maintenance and stuff like that. Stainless steel versus like the plastics. I mean, stainless steel is the way to go, yeah?
Definitely. Yeah. So the stainless steel interior lets the water heat up better and stay hot longer to get better cleaning on your dishware. And so it's really nice to have the stainless steel interior. And then, we have that Samsung 24-inch top control dishwasher, which is a really great deal for the holiday. And also, the top fully integrated touch controls are so easy. You open the door and you just look down and you're having to bend over and find the controls on the front of the door. So that makes it really nice.
I like that. And then I think that, I don't know what the price point is. I think we're under $400 on that stainless steel tub, right?
Yeah, it's a $398 special buy, which is unbelievable.
All right, last thing, in keeping with the theories of things I never thought I'd find at a Home Depot, talk about the Shark vacuum stick.
So the Shark Pet Pro cordless stick vacuum is really powerful. It's really compact. It's $349 special buy for the holiday, and it gives you great, powerful suction. It cleans up pet hair among every other thing that could be in your carpet. It really deep cleans the carpet, and also transitions to bare floors. So It's an all-in-one stick vac that mounts on your wall, gives you about 50 minutes of uninterrupted cleaning, cordless, so you don't have to worry about dragging the cord all over. And it's got a feature that easily transitions to a hand vac, so you can, you know, take off the top and get in the couch or any hard-to-reach crevice areas. So you can really clean, you know, from floor to ceiling anywhere you need to with that.
If it'll clean up my email inbox, then I'm in. I'm there.
That would be a feature.
All right. So look, we've got a gentleman waiting. Is there anything else? Is there stuff that you want to share that I've got to ask about?
Well, just one more on the cleaning front. The Hoover Clean Slate Pro Portable Carpet Upholstery Spot Cleaner. It's so compact, fits like in a closet under a cabinet, and it's got, you know, powerful suction and really variety of tools, and has an oxy formula to help clean tough stains and messes. So we really have anything you want for, you know, entertaining, doing your projects, having the party, cleaning up after the party. So many wonderful things going on for the holiday. Red, white, and blue sale goes on through the 4th of July, and everybody should come on down and get whatever they need.
Debbie, I know all kinds of stuff is going on. Super grateful that you took time out this morning. You know, David and I stumble through things because we do other stuff, right? So having you share this stuff with us is super great. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and you have a great day and a happy 4th.
Thanks. You too, Debbie. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Clyde, we see you out there. We definitely want to hear from you. We snuck a little bit long on that because I kept asking questions of Debbie. So we're going to take our break, and we'll be back to answer more. We'll talk to Clyde and answer more questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
We're in the lightning round here, so we're going to jump right on the phone with Clyde and then George. Clyde, thanks for waiting through the last segment there. How can we help this morning?
Good morning, guys. No problem. Real quick, last week, and this is, I sort of got this secondhand, but y'all were talking about the flooring, and you had Randy in there.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of his company? Is it Empire Home or something like
Empire
that?
One.
Empire One.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and real quick, I have a couple of areas that squeak real bad, and they're very small, and one I'm thinking is about 4x8 and another one about 4x4, and I think y'all mentioned something about just nailing those down. Is that a good possibility to do that?
What's on the floor?
It's pine flooring.
Yeah, right. you can go through it. There's a couple of things that you could do. You can use a trim screw.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can. I would pre-drill that.
Yep.
But you can use a trim screw, and then you can use a some type of a filler. Chances are you're not gonna notice it.
Yeah, it won't notice it, but okay.
The hardest part about that is trying to find the joist, because it's best if you can get through the joist, because you want to pull that pine and the subfloor down, because not sure which one is squeaking.
Yeah, that's true. And one more quick thing, I have an Ego blower, and they make a real good kit that goes with that to clean gutters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it works really good. The end of it's a little funky, but. It's got 5 pieces in there that screw together, and you know, I just walk right under my gutters and blow them right out. And that really does a really good job.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I guess my thing is that at some point in time, somebody's going to have to get on a ladder and look to make sure that it's not dried debris in there. John was talking about the pollen hardening up with especially if it's an open gutter, so you get a little shingle gravel and you get some pollen dust and it's wet. And sometimes I've actually pulled just big flakes, you know, 2 foot long out of there that are in there. So, and it's not that, it's so much as that doesn't necessarily clog the gutters up, but what it does is it stops or slows the flow of the water.
Absolutely.
Right. So, okay, but love those blowers. They do work great. So for most of the time you can use those, but once in a while do get up and actually hose them down, clean them out.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for the help. I appreciate it. Enjoy the program.
Thanks, Clyde. We appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Here comes George. Good morning, George. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Great. Good morning. I know we're close on time.
So that's all right.
Here is my question. So I have a two-bedroom townhouse. One is the master for me. The other mm-hmm. is the guest. The guest mm-hmm. bedroom has a bathroom that has linoleum floors. I've noticed over the past few months, maybe up to a year, around the toilet bowl, like these mm-hmm. yellow stains are blotching, popping up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to guess it's maybe some sort of gas or component from the wax ring. Or I'm thinking it's because the toilet lid is left open, but it's like yellow. No one goes in there. It's weird. Nobody uses this bathroom, but it's like yellow right. blotchy spots around the commode.
It could be a couple things, David. I'm thinking, I don't know if it would be the wax getting underneath the vinyl, but even a little bit of debris. How old is the house, George?
Built in 98, and I'm the original owner.
Okay.
And it's a guest room bathroom, so it hardly ever gets used and hardly ever since COVID. I think there's been one guest in there using it, so in 3 years.
Right. So it's possible. It's possible that it's the gas, and you said that. So it would be trapped underneath the toilet and then make its way underneath the vinyl if it was not sealed around the flange. Because obviously the flange is going to be separate from the floor, so the vinyl is not going up on top of it. Normally what I find is it's just water has gotten underneath there once in a while, and what it does is it discolors the vinyl from the bottom side. A lot of times we see different colors with water, but it usually is more of a gray, in the gray tones, and sometimes even pink, which indicates the beginning stages of some type of fungus. It doesn't sound like that's the problem, but and then the other times it can also be a reaction with the glue and the vinyl itself, or the plywood, especially if it had Luon. If it's ever had like a Luon plywood laid down, it'll kind of get that yellow tint. So,
but it's only around the commode. It's not anywhere else on the vinyl.
And that the moisture that's wicking, or if there is moisture, that's where you got to start, is with that seal. Unfortunately, that's and if you pull the toilet up and you see more of it, then you know that that's what you're dealing with.
Okay, is there any sort of cleaner to try to get rid of that, or is it stained?
I kind of doubt it.
It's behind the wear layer on the vinyl, George, and so it's going to be nearly impossible to get that out of there.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so a good choice may be a LVP, laminated vinyl plank, or laminated vinyl tile in that bathroom. It's an inexpensive way to go. You can get a really nice floor. You're not going to have to do a whole lot in there to get that done, other than pull the toilet and the shoe mold, and you'll end up with a nice floor.
So Ben has an answer for the yellow spots. Chris, can we get...
Well, let's just let Chris continue to listen, and we'll put Ben on. How about that?
All right, that sounds good. It's George. Okay, so George, continue to listen. We're going to drop here unless you have another question, and we'll put Ben on.
I hear you. We're good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. All right, Ben, answer for George's yellow spots.
Yeah, this is Ken in Concord, the tank bolts start to rust over time, and they start to leak just a bit, and they'll drip a little yellow, orange, rusty stuff on the floor behind the toilet and around the toilet.
Yeah,
and it's the tank bolts rusting, and they probably need to be replaced, and the rubbers as well.
Sure, could be.
I got
could
the
be.
Same problem in my 2000 house.
All right,
okay.
Good thought. Excellent thought. And that's even better news. No, thank you. Thank you, Ken. And that's even better news for George, because if that is the case, then it is a surface solution. But I don't know that he was able to wipe it up. But always,
it's permanent. So we'll see. He'll take a look at that and see what that is.
All right.
And Chris, I'm going
to. Yeah, Chris, can you hang on? All right, awesome. Thank you. Always appreciate you doing that, David. Folks, that wraps us up for another 2 hours of Home Improvement. We genuinely appreciate you listening. Love all the great questions. David, always grateful for your guidance. And we like to remind you every single week that we think the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.